How do you do? Grief is like a long valley, a winding valley, where any bend may reveal a totally new landscape, but not every bend does. Sometimes the surprise is the opposite. You are presented with exactly the same scenery you left behind. So wrote C.S. Lewis in his book, A Grief Observed. And today we'll meet a man who traveled that winding valley until at last his heart and mind and life were unshackled. From Chicago, the Pacific Garden Mission presents Unshackled, radio's longest-running dramatic series telling the true life stories of real people. For more than 121 years, the Pacific Garden Mission has offered without charge food, clothing, and shelter, as well as medical and dental care to all who are in need. They receive these services and much more. They are also given hope for a totally new life, as the old lighthouse pastors and counselors introduce them to the only one who can set them free from the fear and despair that has held them hostage. They learn that they can be unshackled from the bonds of alcohol, drugs, physical abuse, mental anguish, and even from that which is common to all people the world over, sorrow and grief, like the man in this story. This story was first told on Unshackled almost 50 years ago, and because the subject is timeless and universal, we are telling it again today. This is program number 2537, the true story of Albert Nielsen, taken from the classic files of Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think. Look at the infant in its cradle. There are two things you may say of it with some degree of certainty. During its lifetime, it will know sorrow and death. These things come to all. It may be that you, at this moment, are passing through a time of sorrow that someone you love, whose life has been a part of your life, is gone. These are the times when the empty-hearted fling their grief in God's face and demand to know why. Well, your grief may be an old one, or as new as today. New or old, if you still listen for a footstep in vain, if you speak first and then remember that there is no one to hear, then listen to this story of a man who fought his grief for years. It's the true story of Albert Nielsen right now on Unshackled.
My body felt like granite. All during the service, I held a rigid expression. The strain showed only in the tightly clenched fists lying motionless in my lap. The gray casket rolling silently up the center aisle was expensive, but that gave me no comfort. The flowers were lavish, but did nothing for my agony. The entire situation seemed unreal. I wanted to keep it that way. If the fact of my wife's death should become real in my mind, I might lose the grip which held me in check. I would be forced to face reality that Mary was gone. People began to leave. Some of them glanced at me with pity and curiosity. I never turned my head as the mortician approached me.
The others will leave the church first, Mr. Nielsen. You just sit here until I come back for you.
Yes. Thank you very much. I'll wait.
All right, Mr. Nielsen. You and I will go now. The cars are waiting.
Yes.
No.
Take my arm, Mr. Nielsen.
I don't want to go.
I'm afraid you must, sir.
Up to now, everything seemed like a dream, but this is real.
I know how you feel. We'll do all we can.
No, you don't know how I feel. You couldn't. This isn't just a ceremony. It's my wife. Do you understand? My wife.
Thank you. Hello, Mrs. Ripon.
Well, good evening, Mr. Nielsen. I just knew you'd be sitting here at home all alone, and I said to myself
course,
that you needed to know your neighbors were thinking of you.
Thank you.
You see, cupcakes, chocolate cupcakes with chocolate icing. I know Mary always made them for you, and I thought you'd appreciate having some.
I see.
Of course, I know perfectly well that mine won't be nearly as good as the one she made, but maybe they'll cheer you up a little. Do you think they will, Mr. Nielsen?
The plate of cupcakes were left untouched on the kitchen table for several days. I was totally preoccupied with my grief. Finally, I threw them out when they became stale. My grief, however, was as fresh as ever.
Hello?
Hello, Albert?
Oh, hi, John.
I'm not cut out for a diplomat, Albert, so I'll get right to the point. I just figured I ought to call and stiffen up your spine a little. You know, we're all pulling for you. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, I know. Thanks, John.
I was just telling Myrtle, I said, honey, it's easy to forget other folks when we're so happy ourselves, but we can't forget about poor Albert. So then I just thought I'd call and let you know we're thinking about you.
That's very good of you.
Well, you be sure to keep a stiff upper lip.
Yeah, sure.
Myrtle's calling me. Goodbye, Albert.
Goodbye, John.
People mean so well, and often do so badly. There is really very little one person can do for another's grief. Oh, a few rare individuals, a very few, because of a special gift of love, succeed in transmitting the knowledge, almost without words, that they are with us as we grieve. Such a person was my Aunt Elsie. As the weeks went by, she tried to help as I held tightly to my grief.
Albert, listen to me. Mary is not dead.
Really? Then why am I alone?
Well, she's more alive than we are. Jesus Christ meant exactly what he said. I go to prepare a place for you. Mary put her trust in that promise years ago. She trusted it right to the end. And that made it a beginning. She's with God for all eternity.
But I'm alone.
And it's not an easy thing to be alone. I know, Albert.
I wonder if you do. I wonder if anyone really knows.
You're not a special case, Albert. I missed my husband every one of the years he's been with the Lord.
Then how do you stand it?
Well, that's very simple. I miss him happily now.
Happily?
Don't you believe that, Albert?
Oh, about you, yes, possibly. But it wouldn't do for me.
Why not?
Because religion doesn't help me, that's why.
Oh, so faith in God is just for women like me and Mary, and for children who don't know any better.
Something like that.
Mary knew better. Albert, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, and whosoever believeth on him, Jesus Christ, shall have everlasting life. Mary is with Jesus, Albert.
Well, I want her here with me. Here, on this earth. I never objected to Mary's beliefs. They were fine for her. That afternoon early in our marriage when she came back from your house and said she'd been converted, well, I was fine with me. Whatever Mary wanted was fine with me. She was all I needed. She's all I need now.
But Mary's gone.
And I hate God for it.
One day, you will have to stand before God, Albert.
Then I'll get a chance to tell him what I really think of him, face to face. In time, our house seemed too big and too empty. I sold it and moved to a hotel. Then I discovered that one room can be as empty as an entire house. I laid out my days carefully, trying to fill as much time as possible before coming back face to face with emptiness. My friends soon learned that their efforts to fill my time were unavailing, even unwanted. They offered suggestions.
The thing for you to do, Albert, is travel. Take a trip. You got the money. Take some time off and see the world. Meet new people. See new things. It'll do you good.
Other people have said the same thing, John, but I can't quite see it.
Why not?
It would seem almost disloyal. Globe-trotting and sightseeing without Mary.
Would Mary agree with that?
No, probably not.
Well, then?
I'll think about it, John. I really will. So I began to travel. But wherever I went, people seemed so concerned with their own troubles. Their lives were heavy with emptiness and self-pity and grief, just like mine.
Oh, I just can't believe that my daughter is dead. Killed by a drunk driver while walking to school. Believe me, my lawyer is working right now on suing him for reckless manslaughter. And when I get home from this cruise, we will have taken everything he has.
Yeah, I know these martinis aren't going to bring her back. But if I drink enough of them, I may start to forget why she left me. Okay, so I wasn't the perfect husband. But I did what I thought was the best for us. Oh, no, it wasn't good enough for her.
Wherever I went, I found lonely people twisting deeper into their loneliness and bitterness. I didn't care to hear about their empty lives or about their burdens. Mine were almost more than I could endure. Life had dealt me a low blow, and I hated it. As time went on, my circle of friends grew smaller. It never crossed my mind that people were shunning me as I shunned others in their grief. My job no longer held my interest, so I changed positions. Later, I moved again to another job in another city. In the new firm, I met a woman whose work was closely associated with my own. She was tall, sophisticated, very friendly, and a possessor of much insight. We went out to dinner a couple of times, and her deep insight became apparent the third time I took her to dinner.
Poor, poor Albert.
Oh, why do you say poor Albert, Madeline? You say it as though you really mean it this time. I wonder why.
It really pleases you to have someone's sympathy, doesn't it?
Not particularly.
You're not telling the truth, Albert.
I should have known.
That I was exposing your infatuation with your own self-pity?
No, I should have known that you had your knife out.
Oh, no, Albert. No knife. Although you do need one, you know.
Really?
That self-pity of yours is an ugly growth, and it's dangerous. It needs to be cut out.
Madeline, I have very little use for amateur psychiatrists. My invitation was for dinner, not for head shrinking.
And you hoped I'd spoon-feed your troubles with maudlin sentiment?
It's quite evident you've never suffered grief.
It's true that death has not closely touched my life. But I've gone it alone for a number of years.
And you've missed the greatest thing life has to offer.
A great love?
Yeah.
Possibly. But I doubt if a really great love is ever selfish.
Selfish?
Yes. Are you weeping for your wife or for yourself? You can't expect other people to sit forever and hold your hand. You're alive and in a world with other people who want to stay alive.
Obviously, you're bored.
I'm sure you'll never invite me to dinner again, Albert. And I don't blame you. But someone had to tell you. I think Mary would tell you if she could. I don't know, Albert, just how one goes about doing it. But you'd better find a way to get rid of your self-pity. Or you'll find yourself as much alone in the land of the living as a man standing in the snow in the middle of a graveyard on a winter's night.
Just how that sage observation would affect Albert's life, we will learn in just a moment. We are often asked, how can I stay informed of the happenings of Pacific Garden Mission? Well, the answer is the PGM News. The PGM News is a monthly publication of Pacific Garden Mission that takes you inside the old lighthouse to the very heart of the mission. Photos and articles bring the ministry you've heard so much about right into your home. You'll also have the opportunity to order Unshackled and Pacific Garden Mission books, tapes, and videos. The PGM News is welcomed into over 50,000 homes each month and is available simply for the asking. To begin receiving your copy, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your mailing address.
For the first time, I began to try to face myself. I transferred to an office in Chicago, but my loneliness and emptiness went with me. As usual, my hotel room was too empty. I stayed away from it as much as possible, walking the busy streets of downtown Chicago night after night, discovering again that there is no place on earth as lonely as a big city. How did she say it? Lonelier than a man standing in the snow in the middle of a graveyard on a winter's night? What a terrible thought. Terrible!
You say something is terrible, sir?
What's that?
Most everyone who comes by here looks as if things are terrible, but you're the first one I've heard say it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I must have been thinking aloud.
Care to come inside?
Inside? Where?
Right here. Relax. It's the old lighthouse.
Lighthouse?
Yeah, Pacific Garden Mission. Can't think of a better place to be when things are terrible.
Really? What makes you say that?
Well, I came in here one night when I knew things were terrible. Now they're just fine. I'm a new man with a new life.
You're joking, of course.
No, sir, I'm not.
That's very interesting.
It's a lot more than interesting. It's God. Can anything be more true? Come on in, mister.
What am I supposed to do?
Nothing. Just sit down and let God begin to talk to you. Matter of fact, I'm taking some time off from my duties as doorman to speak at the service in just a couple of minutes. I'll see you in there.
All right. I'll take you up on it. I'll be interested in hearing just how you became, as you said, a new man.
And I was so angry at society for the lousy hand it dealt me. I was full of self-pity and hated God for bringing that sorrow and unhappiness into my life. Now, I wasn't responsible for what had happened. I couldn't handle it. So I climbed into the bottle and pulled the cork in after me. After a couple years of blaming everybody and everything except myself, I finally admitted I had nowhere to go and that there would be no one there if I got there. So, like most of you, I happened to stumble into this mission. They gave me a clean place to sleep, some good food, a shower, and fresh clothes. It made me feel like I was somebody and that they cared for me. But most importantly, they introduced me to the only one who really understood what was in my heart. And then I read what Jesus said in his word, the Bible. That same verse is written there on the wall. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Even though I had cursed God, I felt his love and compassion so strong and real for me that I surrendered all the sin and garbage I had been carrying around for so long. Right in this very room, I experienced the truth of God's promise found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when I said yes to Jesus Christ, I became a new man with a new life, and so can you.
I take it this is your first visit to Pacific Garden Mission, Mr. Nielsen.
Yes. I appreciate your inviting me into your office. I imagine you've already put in a long day.
Mr. Nielsen, I'm here for the express purpose of talking with people who come to the mission. And since you have remained seated after the service, I assume that you want to discuss something. Can I help you?
I hope so. I feel a kind of urgency. In the service that was held, the doorman said something that could apply to me.
If it didn't, I'd be disappointed.
Really? Well, after all, I'm not down and out. I've not hidden from life in a bottle or drugs or anything like that.
Mr. Nielsen, what we have to tell applies to everyone, up or down. What was it in particular?
He said he was full of self-pity and he blamed everyone else.
And you feel the same way?
Afraid I do. To be honest, I've been told that I have an extreme case.
Well, self-pity is one aspect of being self-centered.
A life can't be centered on self and centered on God, too. Are you a Christian, Mr. Nielsen?
No. My wife, Mary, was a Christian. She worshipped God, and I worshipped my wife.
I see.
It would have been better for God to have taken me instead of Mary. She had him for comfort. I have no one.
I think you've stated your problem very clearly right there.
I admit I'm... Well, I feel sorry for myself. But don't you think God's punished me long enough?
God? Aren't you punishing yourself? The circumstances of grief could cause you to realize your need for God, but God is not punishing you. We reap the results of our own selfish living. I imagine I know what your answer would be if I asked you. Would you like to be with your wife this minute?
Yes, of course.
Yet you're allowing self to build a wall as high as heaven and as long as eternity between you and God.
And Mary?
Is with God.
You believe that, don't you?
Of course. My friend, you need to let go of self. The temptation of great suffering is toward isolation. Prolonged grief is often very selfish. A person occupied with his own grief and refusing to be comforted finds no peace. He's like a dead man among the living.
You seem to understand.
Well, you're not the only one who has allowed his grief to settle in the dark recesses of his soul, to fester there. You're not the only one who has known grief.
I know that. People have told me I'm not the only man who ever lost his wife until I'm sick of hearing.
Oh, that's a sore spot, isn't it?
Very sore.
Would you like to lose it?
Well, I would like to lose it.
Do I detect some hesitation?
Well, yeah. And I don't know why. I'm being completely honest with you.
Thank you. So, you find that you're not sure you want to lose that sore spot?
For years I've been looking for some way to ease my grief.
Have you? Really?
Well, I thought so. Can a person actually want to be unhappy?
I think so. A defeated, self-centered, self-pitying person is a stubborn holdout against the highest good that God has for him. And that's an expression of sin. Subtler than some, but no less real.
Sin?
It's refusal to come to terms with God. What else would you call it?
It sounds like something my wife, Mary, would have said.
I'm not surprised. I imagine she often prayed for you.
She did.
Have you thought that this, your coming here with the things on your mind, could well be an answer to some of those prayers?
No, I hadn't. But it could at that.
Still want to be a holdout?
A sinner?
Yes.
I don't want to grieve anymore.
If you're willing to live out your earthly life victoriously, you can. God wants you to.
Victoriously?
Christ is our victory. Did Mary read the Bible very much?
Yes, she did. But I'm afraid when she tried to read something to me, I just tuned out.
Well, let me read a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It might explain what I just said, beginning with verse 54. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Receive him, and you can experience that overwhelming victory and freedom from your grief. But most importantly, you will receive forgiveness. The Lord Jesus himself said in John 8:36, If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed.
I hardly know where to begin.
You've already begun, my friend. You began when you faced the fact of being a sinner, a rebel against God.
Do I pray?
Do you want to?
Yes. If you'll help me. You know, just now, when I got up off my knees, I felt that a big, heavy load had been lifted from me. I didn't even know it was there until I was gone.
That was God taking your old burden of sin and giving you his spirit, which makes you his child. Like our doorman said in tonight's service, you have become a new creature in Christ.
I know it was self-assurance that kept me from God all those years I was married to Mary. I was satisfied with my life, filled with pride that it was not like those men in that room tonight. But now,
I realize it. I was no different, except that I was an up-and-outer.
When Mary died, all my self-assurance, satisfaction, and pride just disintegrated into grief and self-pity. Now, with the Lord's help, I can find the strength, His strength, to get on with my life. Tell me, do you think there's a chance that Mary knows about this?
Listen to our Lord's own words as recorded here in Luke chapter 15, verse 7. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance.
Then she knows. I'm sure she knows.
Jesus said, He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That promise was borne out in the years that remained to Albert Nielsen. He gave up his business connections to give all of his time and all of himself in God's service. And the sorrows that he knew were the sorrows of others. A time of grief doesn't need to be an end. It can be a beginning. As you turn to Jesus Christ in your sorrow, he will use it. Then you'll find a great calm will settle down over your heart. The answer to the problem of human suffering is in the cross of him who suffered for all, for you. As you receive him, it will have meaning for you and in you. There will be rejoicing in heaven and a quiet joy in your own heart, and a firm assurance that when the time comes, as it does for all of us, you will meet face to face him who was truly a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Dear friend, if you would like to know more about this great assurance, please write to us and tell us so we can send you some literature to help you walk in your new life and faith. The address is simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago is area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And visit our website at www.unshackled.org. To keep this program on the air in your part of the world, write to the manager of this station and tell him that you enjoy and appreciate Unshackled. And be sure to tell your friends to listen, and we would also appreciate a note from you. This is program number 2537. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Your letter is important to us, so please write today. Our address is Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Are you going through a crisis or just need spiritual help now? Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. That's 312-922-1462.